This time at Insight takes us to LSU with head coach Paul Maneri. Paul, we'll obviously talk some baseball here in a second. This crossed my mind, though. You know, prior to going to LSU, you obviously coached at Notre Dame, a couple of big football schools. How does a home football game at LSU compare to a home game at Notre Dame?
Wow, that's a good question, Sean. You know, I've been fortunate not only to have worked at Notre Dame and LSU, but also at the United States Air Force Academy,
right,
which is kind of a neat game day experience for college football as well. And the cool thing about Air Force, Notre Dame, and LSU is they're all great, great places to watch college football games, but they're all very different as well. Just looking at Notre Dame and LSU, certainly the passion for their teams is about the same. You know, both schools have a very fanatical following and very enthusiastic, and they want to see their teams do well. I think the people here in Louisiana probably get a little louder at the games, okay? But they also don't stay for the whole game.
Right.
too much to do out in the parking lot at the tailgates. So whereas, you know, at Notre Dame, it seems that everybody that goes into the ballpark stays until the game is completely over and might even stay until the band performs after the game. But, you know, they're both very rich in tradition, and I've enjoyed every second of both places.
Now, you're getting ready for your sixth season there in Baton Rouge. Does it seem like it's been that long already?
It really is hard to believe, Sean. It seems like yesterday we were faced with this very tough decision about whether or not to take this opportunity at LSU, and now it's been five-plus years. We're going into our sixth season. You know, I worked 6 years at St. Thomas and 6 years at Notre Dame and 12 at I'm sorry, 6 at Air Force and 12 at Notre Dame. So it seems like I'm always working in factors of 6. So I hope this isn't my last year at LSU. Hopefully we can stay here for 12.
At least,
maybe 18.
Yeah, exactly. Down the road. Now, you had quite a bit of roster turnover last year, going into last year, especially with the weekend rotation. Where are you with your team right now going into this season compared to a year ago at this time?
Well, again, a good question, Sean. Where is last year? I knew it was going to be somewhat of a transition year for us because we had lost so many good players from our national championship team of 09. You know, we lost a good group of them right after that season. And then, of course, after the 10 season, we had the guys that we lost to the pro draft following their junior year. So I knew going into last year was going to be somewhat of a year where, you know, we were going to have to play some unproven players first time in college baseball. We started an all-freshman rotation on the weekend, the first time that has ever happened at LSU. We had a freshman catcher and a freshman second baseman and a couple other first-year starters that were not freshmen. But, you know, I thought the team really grew as the season went on. We suffered a lot of difficult one-run losses that certainly would have defined our season in a better way had we won those games. But during the last month of the season, Sean, I thought we were playing as well as anybody in the country. We were 12-3 in our last 15 games of the season and playing our best ball. And unfortunately, we came up a game short of making the SEC tournament. Still thought we'd be in the NCAA tournament, and I thought seriously we would have made a lot of noise, but we never got that opportunity. But now as we go into 2012, all those kids have a year of experience under their belt. So we have that entire weekend rotation back. As sophomores, we also return at least 6 starting everyday players. And I say at least only because I think there's a couple of spots where there are returners, but they're fighting for their jobs with some new players. And so I think we're going to have a lot more experience this year, a lot more confidence going in, and I think we're going to have a chance.
Well, based on that, you were obviously one of the hot topics of conversation at the end of last year when it came to the NCAA tournament and everything. And after missing that tournament, a lot of projections going into this year already have you going to Omaha. Based on some of the stuff that you talked about, some pressure situations and everything, is your team ready for that kind of pressure right out of the gate this year?
Well, I hope so. We'll find out. You know, when you're at LSU in baseball, there's always going to be high expectations. So if you can't handle expectations, you're at the wrong school.
Right.
You know, we were used to high expectations at Notre Dame in more of a relative way, you know, as far as, you know, winning the Big East Conference every year. And I don't think people expect us to win the national championship or, for that matter, go to Omaha on a regular basis. But you still were used to having expectations, and you'd rather have it that way. You know, here at LSU, it seems like it's Omaha or bust every year. You know, you saw what happened with our football team. They make 13-0, they make it to the national championship game, and then we lay an egg, and probably people are very upset about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's how it is in baseball, too. They don't just expect you to get to Omaha around here. They expect you to get there and win it when you get there.
One of the bigger holes that you have to fill this year, you talk about returning your whole weekend rotation, is the back end of your bullpen when you lose closer Matty Ott. Who are you looking at right now to fill that role?
Well, that's the number one concern for our team, because last year, even though I thought our three freshman pitchers, starting pitchers, really did well considering the fact it was their first year in college baseball and in the SEC, we just couldn't finish games, Sean, and that kept us from achieving all of our goals. For example, we blew three ninth-inning leads in SEC games. Mm-hmm. Had we done nothing more last year than hold on to those three ninth-inning leads, we would have won the SEC Western Division by two games, probably would have had an RPI of about 15, and hosted a regional. And that's why I was so upset about us not getting into the NCAA tournament at all, because you couldn't go from that level to not even being in the tournament,
right,
by virtue of three games, you know. And but clearly the reason, the Achilles heel, and the reason why we came up short last year was our bullpen, and we didn't perform well enough. We weren't deep enough, and so that's a main point of focus. Now as we go into this year, I feel like the depth of our pitching staff is as good as it's ever been, and I'm real excited about a handful of guys that we can use out of the bullpen. We had a young man that was a freshman last year that had a good arm, had a little bit of command issues, but then had a great summer, and he's got a chance to pitch at the end of the game, a kid by the name of Nick Rumbelo. But he'll be competing with two other guys. We have a junior college transfer by the name of Nick Goody that was an all-conference player in Florida Junior College last year and was used as a closer this summer in the Northwoods League and excelled there. And then a freshman by the name of Aaron Nola, Austin's younger brother, mm-hmm, who should have been a real high draft, but his asking price kind of drove him down I think he was drafted in the 20th round or somewhere around there. But he could have signed for a lot of money if he'd have made it clear he wanted to sign. I think those three guys are the main competitors for the closer's role, and whoever doesn't win the closer's role should make some pretty good setup men for us.
Speaking of pitching, you have a new pitching coach in Alan Dunn, a guy more than 20 years of experience in pro ball. What drew you to Alan Dunn?
Well, I felt that we had these good arms on our team already, and we had some good ones coming in. And it just felt in my mind that it was important for us to have somebody that could work with those quality arms and bring out the best in them. And, you know, of course, I called on my friends in professional baseball and asked them if they knew of anybody they thought would be a good fit. And if, without hesitation, Alan Dunn was recommended to me. And the more I checked on him and the more I talked to other people, I haven't, after talking to probably 50 people, I haven't met one detractor about Alan Dunn and his ability and his whole persona. And watching him work with the pitchers this fall, Sean, was really captivating to me. He's got a very good mesh of being firm but positive. Obviously, his competence is great. And, you know, I know I had a great pitching coach for 9 years at the University of Notre Dame by the name of Brian O'Connor, who is now excelling as a head coach at Virginia. Mm-hmm. And Alan Dunn reminds me an awful lot of Brian with his personality and the way he works with the pitcher. So hopefully, you know, Alan's influence will bring out the best in all of those kids, and we'll pitch as well as we can, because in today's day and age, anybody that follows college baseball knows that the game has shifted. It has now become a pitching and defense-dominated game.
Yep.
And all you have to do is look at the eight teams that were in Omaha last year. Seven of them had earned run averages under .300 as a team, and the one that didn't was at about .320. So we just have to get better on the mound, not just obviously with our starting pitchers, I think are going to be good, but we have to improve that bullpen.
An interesting addition you have to your team this year is a guy by the name of Arby Fields. He played football and baseball at Northwestern before a year at a junior college. What kind of expectations do you have with him coming into this year?
Well, we had huge expectations when we recruited him. Arby is a very, very good athlete. He's the fastest guy on our team. He runs about a 6.5, 60. And when he hits them good in batting practice, he hits them different than anybody else we have. He's got great bat speed, and the ball jumps off his bat. Now, during the fall, it didn't really translate into the games. And so we're pretty, you know, disappointed in how he performed. And I don't know if he'll be in the starting lineup on opening day or not, but in the post-fall practice workouts, we had some simulated games with some rehab pitchers. He swung the bat a lot better. So we'll see how it turns out when he arrives back here after the Christmas break. I have a feeling he's going to be pretty determined.
All right. Sounds good. We'll have to keep an eye on him then this year. SEC obviously getting bigger next year with Missouri and Texas A&M coming aboard. And not only that, this year you've got a guy, Dave Serrano, coming to Tennessee from Fullerton. What do you think about all these additions to an already tough conference?
Sean, I call the SEC the major leagues of college baseball. You know, it's an amazing thing to be in the league day in and day out. You know, college baseball is strong all over the country, but I've never seen anything like this league. You know, every school we play against has an outstanding coach. They have a great facility. They have outstanding ball players that are going to play in the major leagues someday. Usually large fan bases. So there's just no easy games. You have 30 games over 10 weekends, and every one of them is going to be a Donnybrook. You have to bring your A game if you want to have a chance to win. So adding Texas A&M, a team that was in the World Series last year, and Missouri, a perennial NCAA participant with an outstanding coach, you know, it's just going to add two more teams. But you know, you're only going to play 10 weekends. So whether you're playing Florida or Mississippi or Alabama or South Carolina or Texas A&M or Missouri, I don't think it really makes much difference, because you're going to line up against an outstanding ball club every time. And certainly Dave Serrano going to Tennessee is an excellent coach. His record speaks for itself of what he did at Fullerton. Mm-hmm. He'll make Tennessee a better program, and it'll just be one more great team competing for the championship.
BB Corps bats were the biggest change in college baseball last year. Looking to now, is there anything you'd change in the game right now if you could wave a magic wand, if you had the pulmonary wand you could wave?
Oh, yeah, there's several things. First thing I'd do is double the amount of scholarships we're allowed to give our players, you know, so we could get some more players probably keep them from going into professional baseball. I'm hoping that this new collective bargaining agreement with in Major League Baseball will help college baseball some from that standpoint. But Sean, I was a little bit vocal. I was never a big fan of moving to the BB Corps bats. I thought that college baseball, because of the limited scholarships and the limited rosters, it was very difficult to get the caliber of hitters that you're going to see throughout professional baseball, and yet we want them to use the same kind of equipment with an athlete that's not the same. You know, we don't have a lot of Albert Pujolses running around in college baseball these days, you know. And I just felt that it was a niche for college baseball, the extra offense. We're trying to draw fans and draw interest to our sport, and let's face it, most fans enjoy offense. And you know, and the offense is certainly curtailed now with these BB Corps bats. Doesn't mean one team's going to be at more of an advantage to win on the field. I mean, you still have to find the way to win. I just was concerned whether or not we were driving fans away, or certainly not encouraging them to come out in droves. But it is what it is. You know, the powers that be made the decision to put the BB Corps bats in. We've had them for a year now. I think all the players are getting used to them. I think the offense may skew up a little bit. I don't think it'll be by a dramatic amount, but you know, if I had my choice, I would never have put him in the first place.
Yeah.
I thought 2010 the bats had been changed enough to make it a little bit more balanced, but still give the offense a good advantage.
Yeah, definitely. One final thing before we let you go, I'm going to do some word association.
You do this all the time.
I know you love it. All right, you just tell me whatever comes to mind, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with your shortstop, Austin Nola.
Oh, as good a defensive shortstop as I've ever coached. He's like an altar boy. You know, he's just a wonderful young man that excellent in school, never says a word, totally team-oriented, turned down a chance to go into pro ball after his junior year to come back and finish his business here at LSU academically and athletically. One of my favorite kids of all time.
One of your pitchers, Kevin Gausman.
Gausman's got a chance to be as good as he wants to be. He's got electric stuff, you know, mid-90s fastball. His secondary pitchers are really improving, and he's a good athlete. So the sky's the limit for this kid. You know, I told him if he goes out and wins 12 to 14 games this year, he'll be a top pick, and we'll be doing well as a team. So put the team first and let the draft work its way out the way it's supposed to.
One of your assistants, Javi Sanchez.
Javi Sanchez is one of the special people in my life. I recruited him to Notre Dame, played for me for 4 years there. Anybody that's ever been around Javi knows that he's got an infectious personality. His role as a recruiter is expanding, and he's doing an excellent job with that. He's already an excellent on-the-field coach.
LSU football coach Les Miles.
I'm a big fan of Les Miles as a coach and as a person. Really one of the outstanding people I've met in college football in my 30 years of being associated with college athletics. I think the world of him. I think he's done a tremendous job. I wish he could have finished it off last night for his sake as well as the school's. But when you're the football coach at LSU, boy, you are under the microscope, mm-hmm. and you better have some thick skin.
Alex Box Stadium.
To me, it's the mecca of college baseball. It's just a tremendous facility. A lot of great traditions were developed and great moments happened in the old Alex Box Stadium. And now we're trying to do that in the new Alex Box Stadium. 2009 was pretty special as we won the national championship in the first year in the stadium. We averaged 10,600 fans a game in a stadium that holds 10,160. So I don't think I have to say much more than that.
No. Last one, Paul Maneri.
You want me to talk about myself?
I knew you'd have a hard time with it.
You know me too well for that. He's a coach that loves his players, loves his school that he works for, and works as hard as he can every day. Enjoys his job, enjoys his family, and fortunately have a whole slew of great friends around the country.
Sounds great. Paul, we appreciate every time you come on with us. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Okay, Sean. Good to be with you, buddy.